Thank you so much for having me. I know you probably didn't get much choice in the matter, but it's a real treat to be with you. I'm just going to find a stand that's a bit more friendly, so I'll come a bit nearer. Is that better? I'd like to see all your faces. So when I was praying about this theme of having a life on a mission, I mean, what an amazing, it does feel like that, doesn't it? It's a bit of a mission sometimes. To get here felt a bit of a mission for me. I was like, oh no, couldn't find my sat nav, and then was relying on my phone, and thought I'm renowned for taking the wrong turn in a very confident way, but down the wrong road, having to go for a while and then turn back. But it's not quite as bad as this lady who had a bit of a mission. This lady is called Sabine Moreau. You may have read about her once upon a time in the newspapers. She's 67 years old. She's Belgian. She set her sat-nav from just outside of Brussels to guide her 38 miles to pick up her friend from the station. I'm sure we've done that trip a few times. After not realizing that there'd been a GPS error, she continued driving 900 miles across Europe until she ended up in Croatia. I thought that was quite spectacular. Apparently, this is a true story. And sometimes life can be a bit of a mission, can't it? Sometimes we might not end up where we thought we were supposed to be going. For one reason or another, we take the scenic route. And one of the characteristics that I love about our God is that he is a God who guides. And that he is a God who's not distant and absent from our lives, but he's journeying with us alongside us and helping us to navigate this life on a mission. So I thought before we kind of crack on and embark on the next three talks, I thought let's start with who God is and what he brings into our lives to help us on this mission of living a life with him. We hear that his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, don't we? We can have these senses of when we've been going off track, something somehow helps steer us back on course. Have you ever had that kind of experience? And we would call it Jesus, I would say. But there have all been times that we've had these kind of promptings and sensed a nudge from the guide, perhaps. Maybe there are things that we've invested our time in, our money in, our efforts, our emotions in, and these things don't perhaps turn out the way that we thought. We were heading maybe what we thought was the right direction, a bit like Sabine, but took us a long way. And, you know, maybe those things for us are like a relationship that's gone wrong or a job that didn't come off how we intended it to come off. Perhaps a dream that we thought we were aiming for didn't quite get fulfilled. Money that we thought was wasted. Things feeling all chaotic and out of control. And circumstances just not looking as we thought they would. Anyone had those kind of moments? Life can feel like a mission, can't it? And not often a very enjoyable one. And so a little bit like the end of a soap opera where you know the part where it comes in like this. Doof, doof, doo-doom, doom. And you feel like it's all gone wrong. We know that there's another chapter coming, another edition, another day, another opportunity for the theme tune to start and us to see the next stage of the story. We know that our guide will somehow involve himself in our mess. It's Jesus's speciality, after all. So we're in good hands, aren't we, if we feel that our little mission is a bit of a pickle. And I love the context that we're about to celebrate at Christmas, in which Jesus himself was born, that there was confusion, there was darkness, there was threat of a very, very horrible ending to a nice story of Earth, the genocide of all the little boys. I mean, let's not forget that that's what this was. And then in comes God as a human with hope and with light. And Jesus is born in the midst of this genocide. I mean, that is a miracle amongst mess, isn't it? And so if we didn't need any other illustration all weekend, let's hold on to that hope and that light that God planted himself right in the midst of that and there was no stopping his plan. And so God knows that we as humanity need a guide. John quotes Jesus, who described himself as the way, the truth, the life. And if any one of us, and I'm sure we are, in our amazing miracle of life, but our messy life on a mission, if there's any better guide to have, I can't think of a better one than Jesus Christ. So it's my prayer this evening that as we kind of step into his journey and we look at how he involved himself in our world and how he showed he was present, how he showed he was guiding, that we'll find this way, this truth and this life for ourselves so that we can call his story our own. And we're going to look at one particularly unusual account of how God involved himself in the story of humanity. And I'll draw out just some phrases and some truths that happened back then. But let's remember in the scriptures, if God did it then, he wants to do it again. And if he did it back then for them, he wants to do it right here in this room for us today. I don't think the Bible ends when it ends. It carries on in our world, doesn't it? So this particular event, and if you guys want to follow in your own Bibles, that's really fine. I've got the words up on the screen as well. But the events that we're talking about is recorded in Acts 2. And we hear about God wanting to bring his presence and his power into his followers for a specific purpose, that he wants to work through us and involve himself in our lives in order that we will become light, just like Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. He wants us to be that very life for other people. And actually, without his physical presence on earth, he knew his followers are going to need this guide. He's not going to be physically walking along, but he knows that they're going to need his presence. So he tells his disciples at the very time of his departure back to the Father to go to Jerusalem and wait and stay there because someone else is coming. Isn't it helpful when someone's off for God to send someone else in? And he did that in this. And so Luke 24:49 sets the context of Jesus saying, stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. That's amazing, isn't it? So he knows that for our faith to be alive, for us to be kind of fueled with this life of God, with this truth of God, with the way of Jesus Christ, we need to be clothed with power from on high. So they waited. And they waited. And they waited. I'm not very good at waiting. And they waited. And then 10 days later, as 120 of them are gathered in this room, this is what happened. So this is Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Some of us have been waiting a long time. Some of us are waiting for our suddenly moment. And suddenly, the guide made himself known. His presence was suddenly in the room. Not just there, but tangibly there. You know the difference? You can be in a room and not really be there. God is always present, but there are times when he says, hello, I'm actually guiding you right now, right here. And something happened whereby every single one of them had the presence of God rest on them. Fire came on their heads. Can you imagine the craziness of this room if you were sitting there? Something's on your head right now. Looks like fire. Okay, great. But you see, fire is visible. It's not that the room got a little bit warmer. They're all looking like human candles suddenly. Every single one of them. This is bizarre stuff, isn't it? It doesn't fit into our nice little compact Jesus in a box picture, does it? Fire has a smell. Fire has a visual. Fire has a temperature. Fire has a force. Fire has a light. Fire has a warmth. And all of those aspects, God wants present in this room right now and resting on every single one of us. He wants us to have a certain smell. He says, I can smell the fragrance of Jesus. He wants us to have a certain temperature. We're not meant to be lukewarm. Our faith is meant to be fiery hot. Fire has a force. We ignite each other, and this light and this warmth spreads. We shine brightly in the darkness, and the darkness cannot put it out. And fire has a warmth. You know, the followers of Jesus Christ, we should be the warmest people on this planet. We should be the most kind-hearted. We should have an approachability that no one else has, because people say, oh, you remind me of Jesus. You must follow the guide. You know the way. You've got light that helps illuminate the paths of other people. I'm coming in your team. You look like you know where you're going. Lots of people don't, do they, in their mission in life? And God has used fire before, hasn't he? He set a bush on fire for Moses to speak from it and set him on track. He sent a pillar of fire for the Israelites to navigate their way. He set some wood on fire at the request of Elijah when he was having what can only be described as a bit of a god-off against 900 prophets of another god standing on a mountain. Why would God use this? I guess he likes continuity. I guess he wants us to go, oh yeah, I remember that. I'll be ignited as well then. You can do this in my life. And so God's presence, I had this up on the screen earlier, brings in his power into our lives for a purpose. And he wants to work his purposes out through us. And this would have had an impact on others back in the day, wouldn't it? So let's see. Oh, there we go. Sorry, I was supposed to put that up earlier. Fire is all of the previous qualities that we discussed. So let's read on. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. I was looking up the other day in my Matthew Henry concordance about this gift of tongues that they had. And it was saying, and this is really interesting, it was saying that tongues actually, although we think they're for the church, back then they were for unbelievers because nobody spoke the same language, did they? After the Tower of Babel, everyone was scattered off speaking different language. And here we have a bit where the multitude come back together and suddenly they understand each other. Suddenly they can speak each other's languages. They didn't have Google. They didn't have a translate app on their phone. They didn't have CDs they could plug in. But here we have every nation under heaven understanding each other. That's got to be a supernatural work of God, hasn't it? And I was just thinking, wow, we could do with a bit of that in this country. We're going to be taking people in who've lost their homes, their, you know, these tragic lives coming onto the land. And we might need to speak their language. We might need to tell them the good news of God. We might need to say, you've lost all guidance in your life. Let me introduce you to the guide. Let me introduce you to the one who can bring light into your darkness. But isn't this incredible that they would have used it for evangelism? And of course they would. When we look at Paul, where he traveled around, you know, one of his places was Syria. And then he bobbed across somewhere else and went across to Greece. and Athens, and, you know, you just think, wow, he wouldn't have known the language. He would have had to ask the Holy Spirit to give him messages. It's quite amazing, really. So here we have a picture, a beautiful, beautiful picture of God's heart for people, that when he's present, he wants us to understand each other, doesn't he? And sometimes in our life on a mission, and it feels like a mission, we don't understand each other. And so when God's present, when his fire is present, working through his people, there's an understanding that clicks in, where we suddenly get it. We get each other. We get what we're really saying. And we hear as if it's our own language. And so here we have it, that they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? And now there are countries that I'm not going to pronounce properly. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, maybe, Pontus and Asia, somewhere else and another place, and Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and some other people, Croatians and Arabians. We hear them telling in their own tongues the mighty works of God. Isn't that incredible? It's amazing, isn't it? They were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does it mean? But others mocking said, they're filled with new wine. Basically, they must be drunk. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So this is for a community of believers, but it doesn't stay in. It turns out. And it impacted those around, so much so that they were chatting about it, talking about it, gossiping about what God was doing. This fire came upon them, and God worked through them to show off and speak out these mighty works of God. I wonder what comes out of us if people were to gossip about us, if people were to say and take note. I wonder what they'd see. It's quite challenging, isn't it, to me particularly. My friend used to say, rubbish in, rubbish out. Whatever we fill ourselves with eventually is shown on the outside. And you know, we were intended, just like Jesus came to bring light, we were intended to radiate his light, to shine out the fire of his presence, to burn so brightly in our face that people would not mistake it for anything else. And that we wouldn't be so sort of self-contained and fearful. People would accuse us of having such a bold confidence that we would be like drunks. There's something that happens when people are drunk. This very unashamable confidence comes over them, if nothing else. I mean, they can't walk, but don't always make good decisions, so not actually recommending it. But it's interesting, isn't it, that that was what they were accused of, because they weren't worried about what people thought. And so God wants to work through us, a bit like a drain pipe, I like to think, coming through us and out to others. And he does this, and he did this then, to show others that he wants his power to be at work in his people. That he has things that he has for us to do. He wants to display his power through us. And that we will then have something to say. And no one gets left out of the party. Sons, daughters, servants, old men, young men, all of them, everybody. Everybody in this room would be included, just like in that room back in that day. And then this is the next verse. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So there's a goal. There's a rescuing mentality behind all of this. There's not a kind of showing off, look how powerful I am, look at my brightness. It's not to draw us to just each other, but it's to point out that Jesus is Lord. Everyone who calls on his name will be saved. So let's have a look at some other examples. We looked at them earlier, didn't we? That the fire of this bush being on fire was not just to show off that God could do this. I mean, of course, it shows something about God that a bush could just suddenly ignite but not burn up. I mean, that is super natural, isn't it? It takes something natural that would occur and makes it quite super. But it was for Moses to start his mission to save an entire nation. That was the purpose. It wasn't just to like, oh look, there's a bush over there, it's on fire. Let's all drive, have a drive-by and take some photos, you know, like we would nowadays. It had purpose to save people and for freedom. The pillar of fire was to show the Israelite people that God's saving power would always be with them and would always guide them. The fire over that wet wood to display God's power to defeat the prophets of Baal was to show that Yahweh was the one true God, because people were confused. And you know what, guys? People are confused today. In these days, they're very confused. So we need to have God's power on display in a tangible way through our lives and through these different examples to say, actually, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. So his presence is with us, but comes with power and has a purpose. So in this mission of life, he wants us to know his fire, doesn't he? He wants us to know his presence. He wants us to be guided by him, the guide, that we're not just left on this earth fumbling around, not knowing what to do, where to go. We're not setting off our sat-nav, getting distracted and ending up hundreds of miles in the wrong direction. He's got a purpose for our lives, hasn't he? And we also learn that his spirit will bear fruit in our lives. Character traits will grow in us that we are not going to get from anywhere else. No amount of counselling to be more kind could replace the fruit of the Spirit growing in us and changing our character. So this power comes and begins its work in us. I love that picture of the kingdom of God being like bread, you know, with yeast worked in, so that, you know, as God's power has worked in our lives, we rise. God works in us and builds us up. So we're not craving this power for the sake of having power, but we're wanting to be obedient and responsive to his request, to wait on him, to be clothed in power. Does anyone feel like they need to be clothed in power today? I do. I was quite tired. I had to sit myself down in the worship. I was like, I do want to worship you, Lord. I'm tired from my driving. I need to be clothed in power. And we're not lighting our own lives up so we just see our pathway, although that is a very helpful thing. And the brighter we are, the more we'll be able to navigate. But actually, we're shining a light for others to find their way out of the darkness as well. Remember, there's a purpose behind it. And so we're pointing to the goodness of God. Our lives are shining out the truth of God. We're pointing to the freedom of God because we're fired up by this power. We're filled up and it just comes out of us. And I wonder how different our weeks would have been if we really knew, I mean really knew, that we had the power of God right there with us, if we felt clothed in his power. And I want the rumours from this weekend, as we go back, I want people to say, you look different, your face has changed, something's happened inside you. It's not the outside, but it shows on the outside because of the encounters that we will have had with our God. And we don't need to conjure up the Holy Spirit. We don't need to put on a big song and dance about it, because they were just sitting, waiting in a room for quite a long time. And God didn't need to hype himself up. He came with the wind. He came with the fire. And he came with his power, and then it came out of them, and they shared, and they had this ability to understand each other. And they were talking about the mighty works of God. And I want people to say, I want what they've got. I want what you've got. I want what you've got. And then this picture, God's beautiful church of one people, one spirit, one mission, all on a mission, would be all the more ablaze, wouldn't it? I mean, imagine the nation just kind of lighting up with all of us. And he wants to amaze us and astonish us and others with how he's working in our lives, that there would be a suddenly, there would be the accompaniment of heaven. And, you know, Jesus isn't really interested in charismania, is he? He's not really, but he wants us to take it seriously when he says, go and wait to be clothed in power from on high. He wants his spirit to ignite us so that just like an engulfing fire, it spreads over to everyone we meet. It's like a little ember flicking. You know, my poor friend, her fire caught a tiny bit of her carpet, took her whole floor of her house out. But guys, just a tiny little flicker can spread in the most incredible way. And so we would spark it off, if you like, a bit of hope into the lives of others. And that's my prayer for this weekend, really, that we will leave ignited by God again. So a couple of questions to ask. Have we waited on God recently to fill us with his fire? Have we done that? Have we had an expectation? You asked us to be clothed in power from on high. Have I asked this question? Maybe that's for us to do tonight. And it's not just for us, it's for those who we know, those who we love, who are trying to navigate the mission of their lives in the dark, with the wrong destination. And we've got the answers. We've got the light. And so he wants to commission us as a community. He wants to co-mission with us. He wants us to know, I am with you always. To the very ends of the earth, I'm with you. And it's through the power of my Holy Spirit. And Dave, was singing out a bit from Isaiah 61, and I've written it down, that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on us. He's on you. He's on me. Because the Lord has anointed us to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent us to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. That would be good, wouldn't it? And they will be called, this is your reputation, oaks of righteousness. Ka-ching! A planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. You see, there's something notable. There's a way of standing. There is a way of something being seen that's because of what's happened on the inside, because of what we're rooted in, because of who we've allowed to work through us. And so there's a challenge, isn't there, for us to kind of train our senses. Well, if God, if you're going to come as fire, if you're going to change the way we understand each other, if you're going to alter the way we speak so we understand each other, if we're going to have your power at work, it's going to be probably, we're going to have to grow in it. We might have to learn your new language. We might have to train our senses. If you're coming as warmth in the room, has anything changed in our bodies? If there's a smell of the fire of God, well, what can we smell? Do you see that God's so present? And Psalm 34, verse 8 says to us that we can taste and see that the Lord is good. That there's something in the atmosphere changes when we know that the guide is present. So we have to start paying attention, don't we? I've got a sort of a secret deal that's not so secret anymore with God, that I sense bits of my body change temperature. Sounds really odd, but often I'll have like a sudden cold hand or a boiling hot right hand or my left toe is suddenly feeling odd. And I feel it's God. You know, it's God saying, I am present. I work through your senses. I'm like fire. I can help you have a taste of my goodness. Why wouldn't I show you or give you a clue so that you can help navigate life for others? And he gives us pictures. If he wants us to prophesy, he'll want to build up clues that we can help others navigate their lives as well. And Psalm 139 says that his thoughts to us are as countless as the sand on the seashore. That's a lot of thoughts. If you imagine scooping up loads of grains of sand in your hand, well, his thoughts are as countless as the sand on the seashore. I'm sure we could get one granule of what God thinks about us from the guide himself, from the Holy Spirit, from the one who speaks to us and wants to be involved in our lives. If Zephaniah is to tell us in chapter 3 that God rejoices over us with singing, what's he singing? What's his spirit singing over the church today? What's the moral of the story that's being sung out from a song? It doesn't need to be necessarily a Christian song. There might be a phrase that just comes into your mind. That's God's spirit singing over you, saying, I'm present, I'm here, I'm guiding you. So why don't we just be obedient and wait? We won't wait all of those days. We've only got this place booked for a few. But let's wait for a moment and almost learn a new way to sense God's spirit, because he wants to show us he's with us. And we'll all perhaps do it in a different way, and that's fine, because God's already come. We don't need to say, come, Holy Spirit. He's already here, isn't he? But what we do need to do is say, I welcome you to speak to me. I welcome you to fill me with your fire. I welcome you to change my body temperature if it gives me a message about you. I welcome you to put an idea into my mind that's not natural, that's supernatural. I welcome you to give me another language so I can convey your good news to somebody who doesn't know you when the moment arises. I asked the Lord for the gift of tongues. I was speaking at a children's camp and all the kids had the gift of tongues and I didn't. I had a proper fear of missing out. So I said to this 8-year-old, can you just pray for me to get the gift of tongues? Didn't get it. And I was like, oh, do I like humour them and like make up some sort of shalom? And I thought, no, you don't need to do that. Don't conjure it up. And about 2 months later, this is probably a bit of an overshare, but I feel like I'm at home already, so I was like, I was on the toilet. And I just suddenly thought, I'm going to practice that prayer language. And it came out. Just a few words that didn't sound like my normal way of phrasing things. And actually, I had to practice. Now, the other week, I prayed for someone and they got it straight away. How annoying. But I had to practice. And so I feel like sort of the moral of that story is sometimes we get a gift from the Holy Spirit straight away because God knows we need it right then. Other times, he wants us to practice. He wants us to grow. He wants us to learn how he speaks. He wants us to learn a different tone of voice maybe from him, or a different way of doing things, and a way that we can build each other up together. He wants to maybe sing a different song over you than he does over you. And so should we just be open to that for a moment? I was going to say let's sing, but I actually feel like let's just wait in the quiet. Because then we just know it's God, don't we? It's not the atmosphere of the music that gives us goosebumps. It can be the presence of God. So Holy Spirit, we just want to thank you, guiding God, that you're here by your Spirit. As you were then, so you are again. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people. Kindle in us a fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. And Lord, we don't leave your presence as we go off and do different things. Thank you that Moses said without your presence, he would not go. And Lord, we won't either. And we thank you that you stick with us. And we just ask that you would increase what you're doing, what you're showing us, that you'd build up sort of a bigger picture of what you're like and the way that you want to interact with us and have relationship with us over the next couple of days. Just seal what you've shown us this evening. Help any particular phrases or words or things we needed to hear, lines from songs we needed to sing. Lord, help them to really settle in us. And give us a great night's sleep ready for tomorrow. In Jesus' name. Amen.